Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
Serving and protecting and sometimes stepping up to the microphone in spacious Studio 7A, Penobscot County Sheriff Troy Morton, welcome back to our program. I am trying to wrap my mind around the incidents following Loon Fest in Lincoln and what happened the following Saturday with motorist Carl Hartley. I sent you a note. How did this happen?
As our legislature looked at bail reform, law enforcement issues over the last couple of years, particularly in this last session, mm-hmm. we looked at bail reform, and I do believe there were areas that could be addressed in bail reform. Unfortunately, in our bail reform area, typically in the state of Maine, the pendulum always swings too far, it seems like, in our state. Hmm. And I think that's what happened here again. We are literally pushing folks back out of the jail that have been arrested. I think the police department in Lincoln did a fabulous job with this, mm-hmm. given two very dangerous situations. One included the ramming of vehicles. The other one, danger to pedestrians, and the follow-up with an investigation. So kudos to the Lincoln Police Department for doing a great job taking action. The frustration thing for today is with law enforcement is they are affecting these arrests, removing dangerous people, bringing them into the jail. The jail's processing these people. And under the current bail reform laws, the courts, mm-hmm. are quickly pushing people back out the door. And that's a problem. I think it's even a problem for the defendants in these cases. Many times they're in crisis and still being pushed back out the door, expecting that their behavior is going to change within hours, sometimes the next day. And I really think, again, this is a state of Maine issue where the pendulum swung too far on bail reform.
Let me reset the table for those that aren't up to speed. Carl Hartley of Mattawamkeag on July 19th, I have to say allegedly, police say in Lincoln that he drove off the street into pedestrians during Loon Fest, a family of four injured, and then police alleged drug impairment, meth specifically, and he was arrested. And then he went before, and I need to check my notes, if I may, Your Honor, Judge Harris Mattson, and I'm not saying anything about Judge Harris Mattson. I do not know this person. I never hope to be in front of this person for any reason whatsoever. But Judge Harris Mattson, appointed by Governor Mills, granted Mr. Hartley bail of $10,000 cash and $30,000 surety. Now, this is where I have to put an asterisk. Because of other reporting on the matter and kind of a deep dive into Carl Hartley's past, here are the headlines. Carl Hartley has a criminal history reportedly dating back to 1987 with 30 cases, a burglary conviction, cases involving domestic violence, criminal mischief, terrorizing, felony assault, 3 prior OUI convictions. This would be his 4th. No, now I have to count again, because on the 19th, he had at least 1, 2, 3. Loon Fest would have been his 4th. But then after being granted bail, getting out, 1 week later on a Saturday night, he's in a different. It was so strange. I thought it was it the same white pickup? But it was a different white pickup, according to Chief Lee Miller. And he's observed to be weaving. He's observed to be dangerously driving close to other motorists. And then the Lincoln police cruiser, they get him into a parking lot. He strikes the cruiser. This would be his 5th, if this is the case. I wondered if it was, well, are the judges letting people out because you just don't have room in the jail?
Yeah, that's not the case at all. Quite frankly, the judges don't speak to us about cases. I'm glad you brought this up, because often folks are asking me or asking the jail, why did you release this person? Mm-hmm. It is set by bail. Bail is set by either the court through a judge, or it's set by a state bail commissioner. Right now, the state is struggling not only here in Penobscot County, but across the state to have an adequate number of bail commissioners. Some of that, I've heard from former bail commissioners, that the bail code has so drastically changed, and there are so many rules to the bail code today, mm-hmm. really in an effort to reduce cash bail and get people quickly released. The thought process is these are people who have not been found guilty, and they're trying to decide that they should be quickly released. My concern, as you can imagine, from the public safety aspect is law enforcement have taken action taken somebody's freedom, deemed that they were immediate danger to public, brought them to jail to hold, only to be pushed back out the door. To be honest, mm-hmm. this $10,000 cash and or $30,000 surety is it was a little surprising that. I'm surprised it's even that high. If you look, Rick, you report on these stories daily and all news accounts of the amount of bail violations the person's out. They're out on 15 bails or 20 bail conditions. If you look at some of these bails, they're often just no cash bails, and they're continuing to push people out. And again, this is not only dangerous for the public. Think about the person who's in crisis who goes out and gets arrested. You're adding more crimes happening. You're impacting victims in the community. But the individual themselves, if this is really about helping them, which is apparently the theory here, is that we're trying to help that individual too. They're adding more crimes, more violations for the violation of bail on top of the crime that they're committing. I think this process went too far again, and we're seeing some of those results. In this case, it just happened to be that there was a $10,000 cash or a $30,000 surety bond that was met, and the individual was released. But again, I think we have to assess these. The courts will review that information based on the police report. The district attorney. And in this case, I think you'll see that there was arguments made by defense on why the individual should be released.
If the pendulum does swing back the other way, by the way, talking with Penobscot County Sheriff Troy Morton, coming to understand some of what happened in Carl Hartley following Loonfest, being granted bail, getting out, another accident, thankfully not hurting anyone in the second, although bumping up another cruiser in Lincoln. If the pendulum were to swing back the other way, we see higher bail restrictions and maybe suspects like Carl Hartley are in jail. I got two questions. Is that the place for someone like Carl Hartley to get the help they need for an addiction?
I believe that that is the excellent starting point for it. We're seeing successes in the jail. But we got to remember, Rick, the first thing is the priority is protecting the public. That's the main purpose. The original purpose of a county jail is to hold individuals that posed a great risk to the public and then make sure that they get to court. It's involved that we become these treatment facilities and things like that. At no time should somebody be released because the jail is overcrowded. And I can be very honest. I don't remember a time that a judge has said the jail's full, so we're letting somebody go on a less of bail. The only time that bail is really affected on an incarcerated person if somebody is housed in a hospital for months or nursing home for months or something like that, they may release them because of the impact to a correctional facility, but not because it's full.
So you just busted a myth. Some people may be thinking, and I was thinking, and my question to you when we swapped text messages, did the judge consider the crowding situation at the Penobscot County Jail, which we have talked about for years? Do judges consider that?
Yeah, no, so, the judges wouldn't do that. We have great judges in this area, and I think our judges and the judicial system is forced under the bail code that's been put before them. And I think it's frustrating for them as well.
But here's my follow-up. If the pendulum indeed does swing and we see more people having to remain incarcerated than get out, you're going to be bursting at the seams even more than you are now. Are we ready to see the pendulum move that far back the other way?
Yeah, again, I think it's finding the balance, right?
Yeah.
So we took on our own pretrial service program. We had another company that ran pretrial service for us. The difference in pretrial that I was concerned about is that if somebody is released on bail, that there's some guidance, some checks put in place, and we had an organization that did that for us, but their model was more hands-off. So there may be people that could be successful out on bail, but there should be some checks, like to the point that they're checking in every day. They're either calling in or coming in, or we have somebody to go out and check on them.
Is that what the pretrial service does?
That's what pretrial service does.
So literally, they're a chaperone.
That's correct. And so all different levels, right? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, I get a kick out of it. I get five text messages from my dentist's office saying, hey, remind you that you have an appointment coming, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so in some of these cases, case managers that we have will text somebody and remind them, you have a court appointment Friday. Make sure you show up. make sure that you are attending your treatment. You know, sometimes it's the small things like that that can guide folks along, and we're having greater success. The pushback from the defense counsel in some of these cases were they didn't want us checking on these folks. They're out on bail. Leave them alone.
Why?
And I think that's the problem, right, Rick? If we want somebody to be successful in meeting their process of going through the court system, sometimes these checks and balances make sense. Now, these really should be lower risk people mm-hmm. that are being released. Mm-hmm. But again, that helps us offset where it makes sense on some of these charges with not a violent history towards the public, that we might be able to release them, have some checks and balances. Currently, there are about 52 to 55 people a day that are out on that. I was very concerned under our former program. They reported to us that they had were monitoring over 100. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. And when we sat down and looked at the numbers, there were 50 that they didn't even know where they were. And to me, that's not a checks and balance. And so we took this on in the sheriff's office to end that contract.
You have capacity for that?
Yeah. So what we did is we took the funding that I had for that. Actually, it was cheaper uh-huh. for me to hire two of my own staff.
Oh, okay.
And they're involved in this. And what this does, it allows us to move lower risk individuals uh-huh. that are out of the facility. But we can also keep an eye on them. Rick, this is also where electronic monitoring occurs.
Yep.
It seems like it's a educational piece that I've got to make sure that we convince our prosecutors, the courts, and then particularly defense, who push back often, that this is a great tool. The electronic monitoring be used. Alcohol testing on the outside, drug testing on the outside can be used as a tool for lower risk individuals that are going to be bailed out. And it's very difficult in this new bail system. If people are out, they want them out. They want them left alone and not seen. And I don't think that's productive for the public, for victims. And you know, I say this almost every time on your show. Mm-hmm. I think we've lost sight of our victim survivors. I think we've lost sight of businesses, families, and schools that are impacted by crime. We have a tremendous focus on the defendants themselves and less on victims and survivors. And I hope in this next session we have more of a discussion and go back to what made me a cop through most of my career is we started with making sure that we were protecting victim survivors.
Let me ask you about the event that you are a part of arranging across the Penobscot in Brewer on August 17th?
August 19th.
August 19th. That is Wednesday, right?
That's Wednesday. Wednesday the 19th. So the Maine Sheriff's Association, again, this is our 50th anniversary. I always throw that out there. But we're in partnership with the Maine County Commissioners Association. Every chance that we get, we'll have candidates come before us that are talking. We understand and we believe that county government is a critical role to local government. And so we're going to make sure that we have those running for the office of governor and the U.S. Senate and U.S. House are all coming into Brewer, graciously Brewer Police Department. Working with us in the Brewer school system so we can have a little meet and greet and perhaps fire off a few questions. This isn't a debate. This isn't a situation where we want to speak with them and talk about what's occurring and how it impacts county government moving forward. And I'll be very blunt, as I've said before, we went almost 8 years with little to no contact through our association with certain government officials, not at the federal level. And that means a lot to county government that we've got to have this relationship. We want to be in partnership. We don't want to be in control of folks. We just want to be partners at the table.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.